Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're continuing to talk about some of the themes from the first letter of St. Peter. If you've been listening to the program all week, I have to apologize. I keep saying we're going to continue on in the first chapter and don't get very far because I just feel like the Lord's putting some things on my heart to share that are implications, realities that follow directly from accepting what Peter is preaching here. St. Peter, the reality of how we're born again by water and the Spirit, that we're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, through inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, that's kept in heaven for us. And it's so powerful and transformative. It's the greatest power we could ever connect with. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. And the reason I'm putting it those terms is at the end of this prayer, this first part of the first chapter, Peter underlines a sign, a reality, and affirms and confirms in the brothers and sisters he's writing to the sign of the power of Christ at work in them, even in the midst of really difficult circumstances. They're being persecuted. They're in a very difficult place. They have basically no rights in society. They have very little power, very little money. They're believing something that's now running right into the face of the imperial cult that's around the emperor and the need to burn incense and acknowledge the emperor as a god, that whole thing. And they can't do that. And so they're up against the powers that be. And the powers that be aren't fooling around. And they're warning them, just like the religious leaders in the Acts of the Apostles we saw in the last few weeks as well, how Peter and the others were persecuted and whipped and the rest of it, thrown in jail. And now these brothers and sisters in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, St. Peter's writing a letter to them, and he said this, I'll start with verse 6 again, underlining what we talked about even last week. He said, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer various trials." Various trials. Do you notice Peter isn't saying escape the trials? He isn't saying, well, what you need to do is, go find a senator or somebody in government to relieve the pressure that's on your life. I mean, I'm sure Peter would be fine if they stopped putting that pressure on. But the point is, Peter understands the value of these trials. He'll even say at a certain point in this letter that if you're rejected and if you're persecuted, if you are reviled because of your being identified with Jesus, the glory of God is upon you, the glory of God. And that trial, he said at a certain point, it's purifying. Like he says here about how gold gets purified in the smelting process. Without having seen him, he goes on, without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. To see what the Holy Spirit produces. We've been talking this week about that reality. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings us into hope because it's the Spirit who reveals to our spirit, first brings us the love of God that's poured into our hearts. And friends, if you don't know that love, feel free to turn off the radio right now. If you're in the car, pull off the side of the road, or if you're at home, kneel down, pray wherever you are, and say, Jesus, I want what St. Peter is talking about in that letter. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for all my sins. Holy Spirit, come, help me. Holy Spirit, come and pour the love of the Father into my heart and begin this new creation in me. Let's do it. Let's go. I mean, if you've been baptized already, just pray for an awakening of that grace. If you haven't, go knock on the door of a parish and talk to a priest and say, Father, I want to know what St. Peter's talking about. I want to live that reality. I want to know how to love someone I've never met. A love that's so strong that circumstances don't change it. Circumstances don't affect it ultimately. And it's producing beautiful things. Like, you not only love him, but you believe in him deeply. And you rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. These are realities that the Holy Spirit produces in us. The next verse, as the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls. So the whole process we've been talking about is this work of the Holy Spirit that's leading us to salvation, which is what? Leading us home to God, leading us into the fullness of what we were made to be in a community of people that Christ is establishing here on earth, which is called the church, which is a fallen and broken reality, but it's also a divine reality. And it's the place where he's gathering his community and he's forming disciples and he's making us live, helping us live more fully in the image of being sons and daughters of God. Well, St. Peter goes on, he says in verse 10, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired about the salvation. He's talking about the Old Testament prophets who were prophesying that this grace would come when the Messiah comes. So Peter's saying they inquired what person or time was indicated by the Spirit of Christ within them when predicting the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glory. So what he's saying is the prophets, like Isaiah, said that the Messiah would come and he would suffer and he would die and he would bear his stripes. By his stripes we would be healed. And this was inspired by the Holy Spirit, by what Peter's saying here, the Spirit of Christ. Remember, Christ, the Son of God, the eternally begotten Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, all that is was created through him and for him and by him. So this is what Peter can see now by the grace of God, knowing who Jesus is, knowing and seeing, having seen him risen from the dead, and now Peter's alive in the Spirit. His mind is touched by the Holy Spirit, and he begins to see the fullness of God's plan, and he's communicating it. And he's saying the prophets long to see essentially what you see. And what they saw, he said, was that the Christ, the Messiah, was going to suffer. Not everybody understood that, and not everybody grasped that. Some thought the Messiah was going to come and take charge and rule and bring down the Roman Empire and drive them out of Israel and establish the kingdom again and all the rest. But Jesus was coming as a king, and he was coming to establish a kingdom. But it was a kingdom that was foreshadowed through the people of Israel and was to come through the line, the messianic line of the people of Israel. But it was a kingdom that he would establish, the kingdom of the Father's power and life that comes through the gospel and leads to salvation. So the prophets said he would suffer, and then he said also they spoke about the subsequent glory, which Peter had spoken about, that what we're destined for now is glory because Jesus Christ, one of us, has entered into glory. Verse 12, he goes on, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you, that is, this first generation of Christians, in the things which have now been announced to you by those who preach the good news to you. How did this reality come to these communities that Peter is writing to here? Through the gospel, through the good news. Faith comes through hearing, and what is heard is the word of God. The church is called to mission, the Great Commission, to go make disciples of all nations, one heart at a time. And that comes through two things that we're commanded to do, friends, is first to live the faith, to witness to this new reality. And Peter's putting his finger on it here. He's saying, look at the life that's visible in you. You're full of love. You're full of unutterable and exalted joy. There's something deep that's being transformed in you. You're becoming a new person, a new creation, despite the terrible circumstances that you're living in. You're free. Again, I was talking about the power of the fear of death. This is how the world, the enemy through the world, can wield the power of death that causes people to be gripped by fear and enslaved by it, and to do anything to try to escape it, to compromise your beliefs and to do horrible things to people. And that's the trap of darkness the enemy tries to get us into. And look, here the great Roman Empire is coming down on these young Christians, these young Christian communities, and threatening to kill them. And instead of them panicking and being filled with fear and anger and rage and running and hiding in a way that, or abandoning their faith even, conforming themselves to the world, because the world is saying, you better be conformed to us. If you don't, it's going to cost you. And you don't want to have to pay a cost, do you? You don't want to have to be marginalized. You don't want to have to be abandoned. You don't want to have to be mocked or laughed at. You don't want to be physically hurt. Well, if you don't want those things to happen to you, then you better do exactly what we tell you to do. And that's how the devil tries to lead God's people back into slavery, into the slavery of fear. But instead, this Christian community is filled with love, love for God, trust in God. You notice with their love for Christ, who they don't even see, is growing and growing in them. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, who brings that love to us. And they're not standing there saying, you know, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. You promised, you know, a rose garden for me, and what do you got? Now my neighbors don't like me. And I'm sorry, I'm not going there. And they could walk away. They're not complaining. They're not whining. They're not angry at God, because the very thing that happened to Jesus and the apostles is happening to them. Jesus said it would happen. But they don't care. They don't care. Why? Because they're free. They're not under the dominion of the powers of death and the domination of the world and this present darkness, as St. Paul called it. They see the light. They're in the light. And they know that this is not their home, and that nothing on earth can satisfy their soul. Nothing. Not an Oscar. Not, you know, Jeff Bezos's, you know, bank account. Nothing. Not fame, not fortune. Oh, we keep running after it. Money, sex, power, all that stuff. We keep genuflecting to those idols because they supposedly fill us up, but they never do. They never do. But these brothers and sisters have found the gold. And they're not afraid to die. And they can literally say to these great powers that are around them, you in fact don't have any power over me. Just like Jesus stood before Pilate. And Pilate, he couldn't see. He was blind. What he knew is he was one of the rulers of this mighty nation, this mighty reality called Rome, right? The Roman Empire was the source of what everybody feared in some way, right? Because of its great power. But the Christians were like, no, Jesus stood before Pilate and said, you know, you don't have any hold on me. You don't. You can't do anything to me that I don't let you do. In fact, you ultimately can't harm me. Why? Because Jesus knows everything in this world is passing away. He's about to open the door from this life to the next to bring us home to the Father, and everybody united to him now. And we know this through Christian hope, tremendous total confidence and trust in God, that where Jesus is, we shall go. And he will raise us up because he's true and his word is true. And so it frees us up to live the way Jesus calls us to live, no matter what circumstances we're in. This is a good reflection for us today, because the culture's changing and the heat is getting turned up. And this is our moment. And Jesus is allowing it to happen. Who are we going to be at this moment is key. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.